48.
Is that the battery length?
Battery length is 48. Okay.
By the side of a gravel road, Minnesota Pollution Control research scientist Judy Helgen and other field workers have set up a makeshift lab in the rolling farm country of northwest Minnesota. Just down the hill is a small pond where they've netted 100 frogs, which are now frantically climbing over each other in a plastic bucket. They grab each wiggling animal, weigh and measure it, and check it for deformity.
Number five. Number five is lively.
Is normal. The pond is one of 15 sites across Minnesota where researchers are surveying frog populations and testing the water and sediments of the ponds where the frogs live. They're searching for any possible connection between the frogs' environment and their abnormal development. That same day, Helgen speaks to the local press, television, and newspaper reporters who have driven out from Fargo and Grand Forks.
We want to see if there's any tie between when the abnormalities appear in the tadpoles, if they do appear in the tadpoles, and all of the different things that we're going to be measuring. So we want to see when does, we want to ask the question, when is this actually happening to the animals?
What type of deformities are you seeing, and does that have any implications? Does that really mean that could jump species and be of concern to humans or other animals?
Helgen explains that field workers are seeing the same kinds of deformities they've seen in other years, missing eyes, missing limbs, extra limbs, and they've already found them in 6 species of frogs and toads this summer. But after 2 years of study, she still can't give the reporters the answers they're looking for, what the cause is, and whether it represents a threat to humans. Nobody knows that yet.
No one expects to solve this within a summer or a year or two. What we're hearing from scientists and federal agencies is this is probably a 3 to 5 year thing to try to get at it. People vary in the sense of, is it a combination of causes, or is it one cause? You know, some of us feel that it could be one thing because it did appear so suddenly in the state, and other people feel it could be the interaction, like sunlight breaking down a chemical, making it more toxic than it really ought to be, you know, or parasites doing something to the body's immune system, making it susceptible to something else.
The geographic range of the problem is another unknown. Scientists can't say whether high rates of frog deformities reported in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Vermont, and Quebec are indications of isolated hotspots or the first signs of a much more widespread problem. This summer, they're calling on the public to help find the answer. In July, the federal government set up an 800 number and web page where citizens can file reports of deformed frogs. In the past, information from the public has helped scientists solve other biological mysteries. For example, the widespread decline of birds of prey in the 60s, later traced to the insecticide DDT. Doug Johnson, who directs the reporting project, says citizens can play a similar role now.
There's a handful of scientists looking at any particular issue at a given time, and they're scattered around the world. There's about 250 million Americans, and they're out there all over the place doing things, and they're in a much better position to be able to detect these phenomena as they occur.
The federally sponsored center opened in July and has already received more than 150 reports from 36 states and provinces. Johnson says now he's working on finding biologists and amateur herpetologists to check out the citizens' reports.
If you go to a site and find one frog that's got an extra leg, but there are 150 others that look normal, that might just be a kind of a standard rate at which those deformities occur. Whereas if you go to a site and look at 150 animals and 30 or 40 of them have problems, then it's a very different situation.
The center has already received new confirmed reports of high rates of deformities. In Oregon, a researcher examined 185 Pacific tree frogs and found more than one-third with missing or split hind legs. At a site in Delaware, nearly 80% of 115 bullfrogs surveyed were abnormal. If scientists can get a picture of where and at what rate the deformities are occurring, it may help them find the cause of a problem. In the same way, epidemiologists might find the cause of a rare cancer by tracing it to a cluster in a certain geographical area or occupation. But Sam Droege of the federal government's Biological Resources Division says gathering the statistically valid information scientists would need for that approach would take a series of well-designed and expensive surveys, much like the U.S. Census. So far, those studies have not been designed or funded, and he says whether they are will depend largely on how much the public cares about the problem.
Even though that's not the way things should work on a very cool and even-keeled scientific way, if it looks like it's a big issue, it's carried a lot in the media, there's a lot of public concern, they write in to their congressmen, they write in to different agencies, agency personnel decide that it's important, it happens.
In the meantime, more limited studies are beginning. The New England region of the EPA is adding surveys of deformed frogs to its studies this summer. Fish and Wildlife Service workers have been asked to check for deformed frogs at the country's nearly 600 national wildlife refuges. At the Rydell National Wildlife Refuge in northwest Minnesota, workers with long-handled nets wade through the tall grass by the side of a small pond, swooping up frogs. They collect 77, three of them abnormal. A worker holds one of them, a young leopard frog, stretched out on its back as Judy Helgen of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency takes pictures.
Can we get one like lying on your hand?
Yeah, okay. The frog has green spotted skin and golden eyes. Extending from its pale underbelly, there's an extra limb, a spindly, pinkish, translucent arm, useless and pathetic. Helgen's entire professional life is consumed with finding the reason behind such deformities. Like many other scientists, she's worried that whatever is deforming the frogs may also pose a threat to humans, but she says even if there is no health risk for humans, there is something profoundly wrong.
We don't want people ever to get to the point of thinking that it's just a normal thing to have this amount of abnormal animals in our background. I mean, that's one thing that scares me, is that we might just sort of get used to it.
Recent research has shown frogs with missing limbs also have intestinal and reproductive abnormalities. Because they have permeable skin and live much of their lives in water, frogs are sensitive indicators of environmental problems. Finding the cause of the deformities is a puzzle scientists are putting together piece by piece, looking for clues not just about frogs, but about the world where we all live. I'm Mary Loescher, Minnesota Public Radio.